So I'll be reading from James Baldwin's open letter to Angela Davis. We know that we, the blacks, and not only we, the blacks, have been and are the victims of a system whose only fuel is greed, whose only God is profit. We know that the fruits of this system have been ignorance, despair, and death. And we know that the system is doomed because the world can no longer afford it, if indeed it ever could have. And we know that for the perpetuation of this system, we have all been mercilessly brutalized and have been told nothing but lies, lies about ourselves and about our kinsmen and our past and about love, life, and death, so that both soul and body have been bound in hell. The enormous revolution in black consciousness which has occurred in your generation, my dear sister, means the beginning or the end of America. Some of us, white and black, know how great a price has already been paid to bring into existence a new consciousness, a new people, an unprecedented nation. If we know and do nothing, we are worse than the murderers hired in our name. If we know, then we must fight for your life as though it were our own, which it is, and render impassable with our bodies the corridor to the gas chamber. For if they take you in the morning, they will be coming for us that night. So, I'm Martin Henson. Pronouns are he, him, his. I'm from Black Lives Matter Boston. Thanks for having me. As I look around, it's a little surreal because this setup is the same, pretty similar to that of my grandmother's church. And even this whole thing right here. So to be here and talking in front of y'all is strange for me. I welcome it though. It's new, it's interesting. It's just something that I just would have never thought would be happening right now. But it is what it is. So I'm going to give you kind of the rundown about Black Lives Matter, and then we'll talk about things a little bit more in depth. So Black Lives Matter started after the death of Trayvon Martin at the hands of George Zimmerman in 2012, and from a Facebook post and a hashtag, Black Lives Matter, that was the beginning of what I'm now part of. And there's just, when I talk about it, I normally say it's a statement of exasperation. I don't know what you say when you watch black people die constantly, when you watch black people being put on trial after their death. That's what you say. That's kind of what the response was. And so from that, organizers and activists came together to do the work that has become Black Lives Matter within the context of their community. And in 2014, after the death of Mike Brown, there was a call put out for people to come help in Ferguson. And from that call, people in Boston got on a bus and went down there. And when they came back, they started the Boston chapter of Black Lives Matter, and I came on a year after. Now, I've been doing this stuff ever since then. But Black Lives Matter is one presentation of black radical resistance that has been around and will be around long after people forget this particular phrase, and it's been around long before this phrase was ever thought of. So I just want to be clear about that. So, me being, one of the first things I say, me being a black male and understanding the presence I have, a role I play in patriarchy, whether or not it's conscious or not, I say that we are affirming of queer and transgender people. I want to be clear about that because I know that a lot of men, in particular in my culture, black men, have had a role where we kind of perpetuate some of these violent systems against the more marginalized people of us. So I want to say that it's one of our principles we are affirming towards those people and in those groups. And in that, we not only affirm that we center them in our work, so people who are queer and transgender being the most marginalized of our community, we believe if we uplift them, then we will uplift us all, because they're getting the hardest end of the boot more often than not. Another thing I talk about is black women. I'm thankful, gracious, and gratitude because black women started Black Lives Matter. Black queer women started Black Lives Matter. And that's the position that I'm allowed to have because they did what they did. And also understanding and knowing that black women have been playing an integral part in black revolution and holding up the communities ever since we've been here. A lot of times when they've had to support families through meager work where there's no rest and no break and there's still children to feed, there's still families to uphold. They've been doing this. So I always want to say that and make sure that black women are acknowledged and that I won't participate in that rendering of them being invisible. I'm not here to do that. Also understanding that black communities are important to us and these villages that we build don't prescribe to the nuclear bottle of mom, dad, child. They exist in all different types of ways and all different types of compositions. So I know that when I go into spaces that I come looking like the charismatic black male who's supposed to lead the revolution. That's what the media tells you. And I come and say that that's not true. I think the things that have been happening have always happened from the community. There's always been black women. There's always been black queer people doing this work. And I'm not the only one. I'm just the face you see. Hopefully I'm not the face that you remember because there's a lot of other people doing it. Also, since we're global. We're global. Black Lives Matter is all over the world. And I always talk about we do work that is specific to the context in which we exist in. Racism, white supremacy adapts, it molds, it finds its way into every crevice of every system that is out there. And we find ways to tackle that and fight it. Me believing very strongly in alternative community systems that don't have to rely on the system that kills us. That's one way that we often work against those things. And we're also inclusive. So Black Lives Matter, make room for black people who are of all level of ability, of all level, whether you're incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, whether you're queer, whether you're transgender, or whether you speak the language as your first language or not, or people are able to be a part in whatever way makes sense to them. Because the system oftentimes we're just going to step on everybody as it needs everybody to get past it. So and the last things I talk about, at least when I'm doing the intro, is making it clear that Black Lives Matter is a way of tackling the system, ideological and political opposition to the system that dehumanizes us and constantly takes away our value. So we do that in a lot of different ways. Within that, we are unapologetically black. It means that's not something I have to qualify for you. I say it to be clear that I love my blackness, I love myself. I don't have to explain it for anybody to feel more comfortable. You feel less comfortable, you need to work that out within yourself and your spirit. Hopefully you have some groups here of people who who've already tackled folks who are in a different space. But I love my blackness, I love myself. That's something I never apologize for, something I don't have to qualify. To be able to advocate for anyone else, I have to have a essential love for who I am and what I can do with the power that I have. So thinking about getting those things out of the way, thinking about Black Lives Matter and coming and to have these talks with people, being unique, this is unique to me because being in this space, that reminds me so much of home. But also knowing that, you know, is oftentimes alien to people like me. Malcolm X said that Sunday morning is one of the most segregated times in American life. And we all know it. And I can see it looking out here. I mean, it's a little bit white. And that's the truth that we live with. So when I go out and I talk about racism, when I talk about white supremacy, And I kind of break down and analyze all of these things. People have a perspective as if they're looking at it from the outside. But racism is a system. It's not about the individual. Donald Trump is a racist, sure. But he's one person who operates in a system that elected him and will continue to elect people like that. And not only that, the system will continue to create opportunities for white people to excel and hold power and to advance and hold control over other people who are marginalized and people of color and black folks. It will continue to do that. So when I'm talking about racism and white supremacy, sometimes we take an academic look at that, and people feel like they have to learn a lot and from this perspective, like I said, of an outsider. And people do have to learn, for sure. But another thing that is important to think about is that the black people, people of color, Native American people, are colonized people. Black people didn't choose to come over here. Native American people want their land. They're still having it taken away from them. So when we're looking at it from the perspective of people being colonized here in America, you see racism as a system that holds that colonization in place. Because now we're not just talking about prejudices and the power to enforce that. We're talking about an intentional system to take away people's land, to take away people's power, to hold that power in a way that will continue to give power towards the people who are colonizing it. So in what ways is that made present? When you say, well, that we're colonizing things. First, you got to understand why it's important to not talk about colonization. Because if you talk about colonization, you remove that power that people have to maintain control over a group of people. We talk about it in studies of history. We talk about it, the neocolonialism that happens in Africa. We talk about it as if it's distant, if it's separate. But when I see police precincts in the middle of African American neighborhoods, and neighborhoods of people of color, I see colonization. When I know that they ran the freeways through African American communities that were successful, I see colonization. I know that when we cannot learn our history or our languages, I see colonization. When I see that one of the main centers of knowledge for black people, Egypt, the knowledge that comes from that is maintained by white people, I see colonization. So every bit of access to any power, any agency, is maintained by a group of people that is not our own. And that happens in an everyday basis. So when we go and we learn history, I say history is 100% important, and we don't learn about black people, because even if your children are not black, you have to learn about black people and the role that they played to build this country. That's colonization. So where are the people who care so much about racism at these parent-teacher conferences saying, hey, we're not talking about the way this country was really built. Hey, we're not talking about the ways that black people disenfranchised. We're not talking about the way that how right after Civil War, when black people were freed, all these other systems were created to replace the slavery that initially existed within us or on us. Nobody's talking about that. So nobody's talking about the way that science has been used to work on and maintain the health of white people. That's why they use rats without melanin. You know, the white rats. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. There's nobody combating that. There's nobody saying that we have the system of electoral college that's based on post-slavery narratives and configurations. Nobody's combating that. So when people say that they care about race, they want to work on racism, they can't talk about colonization, they can't talk about history, I don't know what people really want. I don't know what the ask really is. We're all sitting here in this land that, you know, black folks came over by way of the transatlantic slave trade, in this land where Native American people were killed and moved into colonies, basically. And I'm talking about racism, and I'm having to educate folks. I don't understand. What's the need for education? This is what our country is. So if that's what the thing is, the narrative about how everything is configured operates to benefit a certain group of people. So we have to talk about racism. You can't have a talk about racism without having a conversation about power. You can't have a conversation about racism without having a conversation about colonialism and history and language and all of these things that are configured and maintained to hold this thing. That's what happens. That's what happens. So when I'm in the position that I'm in and I'm talking to people, I don't know what people will or won't do. I'm honest about the things that I see. I'm honest about the way that we can talk about racism as being a problem, but most people probably work places that are all white with a degree of nepotism that is accepted. Most people probably, you know, have social groups that are all white and say things like, well, I don't know any black people, I don't know any people of color. I just know who I know. What am I supposed to do? Questions that I've actually heard people ask, as in they've asked me. Or is the political system seeing that you have this person who's elected and nobody knows who voted for him, but he got elected? It happens. So when you're talking about dismantling racism, you're talking about building systems, you're talking about changing the way which we normally operate and the way we normally do things, and that requires work. That requires creativity. That requires active collaboration with these people who have been colonized, with black people, with people of color, with queer people, with trans people. It requires that acting and working with, and you know, seeing, for me, seeing the contradiction of that. We can talk about religious tolerance. We can talk about queerness. We can talk about incarceration. We can talk about every category in which white people are included to change. When I start talking about blackness, even though all those things exist within blackness, the steps back begin to become more evident, more obvious. So what I want to leave you with is that to tackle racism, to tackle these things, requires to change in the way that you formulate your ideas, the way that you go into all these spaces, a change into what you think is normal and natural. And you have to work with people of color, you have to work with black people to figure out what that is. What people want a lot of times is a script. You want, okay, do this, 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 and this, but that removes responsibility. That's what has to happen for this world to make room for the people that's constantly been disenfranchised. That's what it is. So when I look out and I see this group, I don't know what you all will do. I hope that you all will do something, but I know that's not likely. History has told me that racism will change, it will adapt, and people will walk away feeling good, feeling like they've done something for the world today because they've heard me talk. But I would hope that you take what I say and you go into whatever spaces that you came from and seek to change it, because the status quo is white supremacy. Whether or not you feel it or notice it, that's the status quo, is that. The cultural norms are that. It's suffocating for me because I run into it all the time. And I have to say, oh, this is how you guys do things. It seems you need to be aware of what your culture is. And people say, no, that's all. Maybe you need to do this. Conversations are tired. They're old for me. But what I'm saying for you, be aware of that. Go back into your spaces and say, what is it? What is our culture here? Examine what your culture is. Culture is a mechanism for distributing power. Understand what those things are. And then we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Like I say, when I go to most places, I'm not going to be standing on your shoulder whispering Black Lives Matter. It's not where my role is. So I hope that you can take something from what I'm saying and be motivated to create change in your world. My world is never stable. So I hope that you can shift and create these alternative ways of being that do not take away from the livelihood of black people, people of color, or any people in these marginalized groups. That's all I have.